Log Talk Radio.
You know, Andrew Sochuk, usually when I see two singles wrestlers tagging up that are in two separate singles feuds, I think, that's kind of lazy booking. And I don't necessarily think that the booking idea in the main event was strong, but overall, it's a pretty strong main event with Pentagon Jr. and Phantasma beating Matt Sydal and Austin Aries to close off a middle-of-the-road episode of Impact, I guess I'd call it. I have some big issues with the show. Not the greatest, but what did you think of the show overall, and what did you think of the main event?
Show overall was, yeah, decent. I hated last week's show with a passion. Wrote about that a bit in the hits and misses and talked about it here. Main event was good. Yeah, I will say that. I always kind of roll my eyes when they do that, you know, two different matches, throw them together, because it kind of ruins that novelty of seeing it for the first time. But overall, I think it worked, and it kind of ended the night on a good note because, yeah, everything else was pretty mediocre, I would say.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll get into that. A lot of mediocrity, though, would say. And again, it's a lot of the same stuff. Like, I feel like we're broken records at this point with the stuff that we're complaining about, but it's a lot of the same issues that just aren't going away. Like, front and center, again, I thought the commentary on the show was atrocious. And it's hard. Like, I get it. It's hard to do a show by yourself, and they're asking Josh Matthews right now to do a show alone. But that's not the issue. You know, the issue is that his voice shouldn't be the voice of the company. I described it in my Impact report tonight. He sounds like a light version of a WWE announcer. And the comparison I used was, he sounds like he's a poor man's Tom Phillips. And it's like, well, you know, that's about as generic and that's about as generic a voice you can get. You know, WWE just overprograms their announcers, and you can tell he learned in that school, because, like, one of the things that just drove me crazy tonight was the end of the Congo Kong Grado match, where Moose's music hits, and Moose is standing on the top of the stage, and Josh Matthews is screaming, "Is he here? Is it really him?" Like, no, who do you think it is? It's and WWE does that type of stuff a lot, and it drives me crazy because it's just stupid. And there's a lot of little things like this where, honestly, like, again, we've been through this a million times, but I feel like it's getting hard for me to watch the show because it's just – it's not good. It's not, and it's the same thing with, you know, the audio mixing being off, and you hear too much of the announcer and not enough of the crowd and not enough of the in-arena noise. Just, there's so much about the presentation that still is lacking, even if the booking is great, you know?
Yeah, I would completely agree with you. Like, tonight I just found myself bored for probably 90% of the show. There's a couple interesting things and a couple things I dislike that kind of brought me out of that boredom. But yeah, it's just so, it's not interesting listening to Josh Matthews. And I think Tom Phillips is a really good comparison. And Josh is actually worse, I would say, in the sense that his character has been damaged so badly over the years. And he's been part of a bad product over the years.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, of course, vote number one for me is get rid of him completely, but they could have brought somebody else in for the night. Even Sanjay Dutt would have been better to listen to. But, yeah, I mean, 2 hours of just Josh is just brutal. And to me, where it really stood out was the Sami Callihan, Eddie Edwards match, and he's just yelling, "You've gone too far, you've gone too far." At what point does he become the villain? Like, there's no genuine emotion there. It's like he's acting that he's showing emotion, but it's not actually there. And you don't, like, as a viewer, feel any of that, like a Jim Ross could do, or a Mauro Ranall, or pick your announcer. It's just so robotic. It's one, and it's just a detriment to the product overall.
Yeah, and again, like, it's Jim Ross's might not be even a fair comparison, although I go back to the same thing. You know, like I've said in the past, you know, with the network now, you can go back, and I often do it a lot, and watch some of these shows, and Nitros and Raws from the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, and it's vastly different, you know. And it's also, yeah, and to be fair, it's also vastly different than what WWE sounds like today, too. But I think you're right that he's been the voice of kind of the collapse of that company in a lot of ways. You know, I believe his first show was the first Destination America show. And yep, that was the night that they lost 500,000 viewers. I mean, that was night one. They went from, what was it, a million people to about 500,000. That was the night they lost 500,000 viewers. And they've been a clear show on a budget, second-rate show, whatever you want to call it, since then. So he's been presiding over, his voice has been the voice of really what many people view as the downfall of the company. So to me, I mean, if you're Anthem, if you're Don Callis and you're Scott D'Amore and you're going to make a change, that's one of the first changes you make. I mean, right now he's been the one constant from that Dixie Carter era to now. And I'm not trying to like just pile on Josh and bash Josh. You can use him. I'm not saying fire the guy, but use him in a different role. You know, he doesn't have to be your lead play-by-play guy, which he's done since 2015 and has been the voice of the time period where the company has collapsed and almost died, by the way. I mean, just find a new voice and let Josh do something else, because by all indications are he's a great employee. You know, he's there for the company and he does a lot of different things. I'm not saying you got to fire him. Just find something else for him to do and bring in a new, fresh voice that can be the voice of the future of the company that you claim you're trying to build.
Yeah, completely agree. And I mean, I was very excited when they brought in Don Callis. So just him getting injured in that angle has become even more baffling to me, because it's made the show worse 2 weeks in a row now. The storyline, of course, I harped on last week, doesn't make a lot of sense. But just removing him and going back to Josh Matthews, I don't get why they think that, because there's no way Scott D'Amore and Callis don't know that Matthews is not well-loved within the wrestling community. He's not even tolerated by most people. So there has to be somebody out there, and I'm with you. You don't have to fire him. I think he could be a decent heel manager. They tried that. I don't think that was a good pairing, and it didn't work that he was still on commentary. I would vote get rid of him. You know, have him do his backstage duties, have him do his online shows, whatever he does. Make him go away for 6 months and then come back and try the manager thing again if that's what they want to do, or you know, just do something else with him. Yeah, like you said, he's been the face of a bad product, or the voice of a bad product, voice of a dying product. And if they want to really give us a new era, yeah, he's just got to go.
Yeah, because it's such an important part of the show that even though the talent have changed and the names have changed and the faces have changed, when you have that same voice, like, it just doesn't feel like it's a different show. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, you're in the same impact zone in front of the same crowd that doesn't seem to care, with the same voice announcing the show. Like, you can try to tell people over and over and over again, this is a new era. We're in charge now. You know, we're going to make some changes. It's going to feel the same. You know, when you've got the same visual, the same building, with the same voice, it doesn't feel any different. It just doesn't. And they've made some changes that I like. You know, like the new entranceway I thought looks good. I think it's way better than the old one. We'll see what happens when they move the show to Canada here for the next TV tapings coming up on June 1st. They advertise that a couple times tonight. I'm interested in A, you know, just seeing what that's going to look like, and B, what the crowd reaction is going to be. Are we going to see more of this? Are they going to be out of the impact zone more? Hopefully that's the case. Because it just all looks too bland. I mean, it's it's just all the same. Like, that's the biggest issue, I think, right now. It's all the same. And again, like, you can change the booking, and the booking can be better, but when the presentation all still looks exactly the same as it was 3 years ago when the company was falling apart, and you're in front of a half-filled television studio with dim lighting because there's nobody in the building, and the voice of the product's the same, you can bring in all the guys from Lucha Underground you want. It's not going to make the show feel any different, because too much of the big pieces still feel the same.
Yeah. And, you know, just think like back to a year ago, the product was so bad. And if you want to bring back some of those people that have left over the past couple of years, it's hard to convince them when it looks and feels the exact same. Like, during this latest era, I would have guessed all these matches outside of the Impact Zone would have been gone. They did two of those tonight. So somebody flipping in sees that. That's not enticing. I wouldn't a picture. I mean, Grado's still doing dumb comedy with a girlfriend. It's like the show is still like 70% the same what it was a year ago. And that's just not enough. Because Matthews is still there. It looks the same. Same studio. I mean, we got to give them a little bit of like a break in terms of how fast they can change things. But it's still, they need to make a lot more changes in order to get people excited again.
And granted, I mean, there's another set of TV tapings between now and Slammiversary. Slammiversary is not until July 22nd. There's a lot of time between now and then. But here we are. I mean, we're 2 months away from that pay-per-view right now. I have no idea what's going to be on that show. And again, like, okay, yeah, maybe there's some benefit of the doubt there because it is 2 months away and there's a whole other set of TVs that needs to be done between now and then. But I don't know. I kind of feel like you'd have at least some indication of what some of those matches might be. You know, even if they're not announced, I think if you watch the show, you could kind of pick up, okay, they're going to go in this direction with the world title match. I have no idea what they're going to do. And, you know, they're going to do Pentagon and Austin Aries as a one-on-one match in a couple of weeks on Impact. I don't think that's going to main event Slammiversary then, but you never know. I mean, I feel like with WWE sometimes, not all the times, but you know, when they, in the era of the brand split before they started doing all the co-branded pay-per-views, when one of those brands might go 6, 7, 8 weeks without a pay-per-view, you still kind of knew where they were headed with their main events, especially the main event, even if it wasn't actually announced. I don't know if it's a strong thing. I don't know if it's a weakness. I don't know if it's good or bad, whatever. But it's just, it seems directionless to me when you look ahead and you go, okay, where are they going right now? You really don't know. Johnny Impact has disappeared with no explanation. I think he's doing Survivor, but again, they've not talked about that once or given any explanation for why he's gone other than he was attacked by Kongo Kong. But even then, that attack hasn't been played up really until tonight when they talked about it. He's really just been the forgotten guy for the last month. Austin Aries, I mean, what's going on with him? We don't know. Same thing with Moose. I mean, I feel like Moose was on the show tonight. I feel like it was the first time in a while that we've kind of seen Moose do anything of significance. So they just feel like they're lacking a direction right now, I guess is the best way to describe it, especially over the last 2 or 3 weeks, really since the tapings took over after the Redemption pay-per-view.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I had a similar thought earlier in the night, and it was basically actually during the Grado Kongo Kong match. I'm like, what does this really have to do with anything in the sense of what is this building to? What's the payoff here? I mean, I guess it's Katarina's going to leave him or something, but like, what do I want from Kongo Kong a few months ago? Is there any big feuds that I want to see him in? Where's Pentagon Jr. headed in a couple months? What are, like, you know, say over on Raw this week, they teased us with like Braun Strowman and Drew Galloway and Drew McIntyre in the ring. And that's something I eventually want to see. What are those matches in Impact right now? And I'm really struggling to think of ones that I want to see, like Matt Sydal. I can't think of a big match that I want to see him in. It's just like up and down the card. I can't picture where guys are going to be in a couple months. And to me, it's not like everything is so great. That's so exciting. It's like, wow, they really need to get some stuff going to make me interested in this.
Yeah, they need some star power. And yeah. I just don't get it here either. And granted, it's a comedy act, so I don't care too much. But Katarina's already teasing a breakup with Grado 1 week after she returned and was the girlfriend. It's like, you know, they don't even get more than a week out of it before they start teasing the breakup or that she's just trying to use him or whatever it is. It almost seems like there's a lack of discipline there. We're just like, okay, see things through a little bit more than 1 week. but, you know, who knows? Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, in that sense, like, why should we care? Like, Grado disappeared for months. He comes back for 1 week. His girlfriend kind of leaves him hanging. Why should I care?
Yeah.
Like, we know nothing about this pairing, and they're already getting rid of it. Like, I would have had her come in as Winter and join, I don't know, Kongo Kong and Jimmy Jacobs. But they went this route, and they changed it in 1 week. And it's just hard to get invested in it, really.
It really is. Yeah, it really is. All right, you can give us a call at 515-605-9345. Again, it's 515-605-9345. Again, just got to hit the number one if you want to get into the caller queue. That's going to let us know that you want to get on the air. So if you are on hold, after you dial 515-605-9345, just remember to hit the number one. That's going to bring up the little icon that tells us that you want to get on the air. We're talking anything Impact Wrestling tonight. If you want to sprinkle in some WWE stuff, that's fine too. But we're trying to stick mostly to Impact-related topics. We got to go to our first break. When we come back, we'll get right to the phone calls here in the Thursday livecast.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I'm Wade Keller, and I urge you to be sure that you're also subscribing to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast at Podcast One and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. All you have to do is search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use on your Apple or Android device to subscribe to both feeds. There's a red brand covering Raw and SmackDown every Monday night and Tuesday night, and it's downloadable a couple hours after the show. And then there's also the Wade Keller Podcast Flagship Edition on Thursdays with a rotation of co-hosts, including Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, Todd Martin, Bruce Mitchell, and others. And then there's our Interview Friday Edition. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck talking about Drew McIntyre.
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen one? He did, and I was frank with him, and I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harloff talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as their perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in, and it's just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
And pro wrestlers, including NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus, talking about the challenges facing Ronda Rousey as she transitions from MMA to WWE.
Think about like the press conference and stuff like that. They just, someone tells them like, all right, now it's your turn to go out there, right? I'm sure if you ask Ronda, she'd probably say this moment is the result of hundreds of people's work, meticulous preparation and planning and timing and everything. And now suddenly it's like, go. And that can be very overwhelming.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
All right, back here on the PW Torch Livecast. Again, the number 515-605-9345. You can also email the show at impactlivecast@gmail.com. That's impactlivecast@gmail.com. Let's go to the phone lines. And up first this week is Kylan in New Jersey. Kylan, how are you?
I'm very well, Mike. How are you and Andrew doing this week?
Pretty okay.
Yeah, I like that. Pretty okay.
That makes sense. First off, I would like to ask you, have you two been filling out the weekly surveys that Impact puts out after the show?
You know, I haven't been doing them every week, but when I remember to, I have been. Yeah, Andrew, have you seen those that they've been floating around?
I will be honest. I didn't even know that these existed.
Yeah, they're through the website, correct, Kylan? I've seen them on their Impact Wrestling website.
Yes, they are.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
As a matter of fact, one should, if they follow the pattern they've been following, one should be up fairly soon, like I'll say within the next hour.
Oh, interesting.
And so you'll know that they ask you all the basic questions. What would you like to see more of? Who would you like to see us feature more? What keeps you interested in the show? And they give you between 4 to 6 different choices for per question. And on last week's When I got to the question that basically said, what would you not like to see, I wrote in, please remove Josh Matthews from commentary. He is a vocal danger to the show.
Yes.
Now, the problem is he does so much stuff online, he may be the one running the surveys.
He just deletes them all. There you go.
Oh, my goodness, that is true. Since he is the vice president of digital media.
Yeah, he might only let the positive ones come through.
Yeah.
So I probably should have said, keep Josh Matthews in his role. He is great. just to be sure mine got through, even though I really wouldn't mean it.
Best in the history of announcing.
Yeah.
As my questions go for this week, question number one for you two is, in regards to the tag title situation, were the tag titles hastily placed on DJZ and Andrew Everett, one because Eli Drake is leaving sometime in July, or because Scott Steiner was only a short-term plan, or do you think Drake and Steiner may regain the tag titles either at Under Pressure or Slammiversary?
I'd be surprised if they regain them. I mean, it feels to me, Andrew, I don't know what you think here, but it feels to me like they're doing something with Eli Drake. Either they're preparing for him to get written off the show and they're just having people go over him. Or maybe they're thinking of a baby face turn and thinking that, hey, you know, if he picks up some losses here, it's not going to matter because we're going to turn him in a couple of weeks anyway. It feels like they're definitely doing something with him, though. I'm not sure what. You know, it could be either or, because like you said, we know as of right now his contract's up and it hasn't been re-signed. So it could be that they are planning for his departure. Or I wonder, too, if maybe they're trying to do something with a babyface turn and thinking that it's not going to matter if he's losing these matches because he's going to return a babyface anyway. I don't know. But yeah, Andrew, what do you think there? Because the big thing last week that I thought was weird too was the fact that you have him win the briefcase only to have him lose the title match. That seemed a little strange altogether.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I've been reading into it more that he's, you know, they're preparing for him to leave the company. He hasn't said anything lately as to whether he's resigned or what he's going to do. So I think he's probably looking to test the waters. I've been thinking it's just been like kind of like how EC3 was on his way out. He was just kind of losing tag matches, and he lost that match to Tyrus.
A lot of random losses.
Yeah, a lot of random losses. Like, I don't think they're really planning these things out well, unfortunately. And I think Scott Steiner was always just kind of a short-term thing. But yeah, it's overall just very unfortunate because, like, yeah, I think DJZ and Andrew Everett could be a very good tag team, but man, that was, yeah, crazy rushed. There's no journey to go on there. So tag team's a bit of a mess. And I think that is due in part to, maybe both of those guys leaving shortly.
Yeah, that's what I kind of figured. My second question is on Impact partnerships with other promotions. I'm not sure if either of you listened to yesterday's weekly Impact teleconference, but yesterday's edition featured Don Callis, in case you haven't, and Don credited himself and Scott D'Amore, as well as Ed Nordholm, for changing the structure of the way the entire wrestling business has worked since him and Scott have been in charge of Impact, and really put over the several partnerships that Impact has forged with companies such as Lucha Underground and some of the tertiary promotions that they've been working. In light of this, do you suppose that with Cody Rhodes doing the record time or near record time sellout of All In in a total of 29 minutes and many other promotions now making headway throughout the wrestling business, that we will see Impact forge relationships with a potential full-time All-In promotion or the NWA or any other places that they don't currently already work with?
They sure would like to. You look at like All In, right? And like you said, what was it 29 minutes or 29 minutes and 30 seconds? They sold out 10,000 seats in Chicago. And you look at Impact right now, and it's like, man, they're struggling to get 300 people into a TV taping. So, yeah, I mean, I think they would love to if they were open to it. To be honest with you, though, if I'm Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks, like, I just don't know what really Impact has to offer them right now. I mean, they're selling 10,000 tickets on their own. You know, not that you want to shut people out, but I just don't know that Impact really has much to offer. They're not on a wide distribution platform like they were when they were on Spike TV, so it's not like there's millions of viewers that they're going to get their idea and their show in front of. I mean, and especially from their standpoint, the show is sold out. So if they're not going to, I don't know if they're going to go and turn this into a promotion or not, but if it's a one-off show, I mean, they've sold all their tickets. So what else is left for them to do, right? I don't really know what the motivation would be from Impact standpoint. It doesn't seem like Cody Rhodes and Impact left or separated on the best terms. Granted, that was under a previous management structure, but my impression is that they didn't exactly separate on the best terms. And then, you know, I just don't know what the benefit would be from their stand. Like I said, I'm sure Impact would love to. I just don't really know what the benefit would be from the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes standpoint. Andrew, what do you stand there?
Yeah, I'm with you at this point in time. I guess it depends on how many All-In shows they do. Say if they do one 6 months from now, and Impact has picked up some more momentum and made, you know, more goodwill with fans, then yeah, maybe they would toss in like a Impact World title match on that show. As with the NWA, yeah, I could see them being more closely aligned with Impact.
Yeah, that I could definitely see. That's I forgot to mention, yeah. That 100%, because they taped a Last Man Standing match, I think it was, in the Impact Zone a few months ago. So, and Billy Corgan and Anthem seem like they're on good terms, you know, considering the situation there with the Impact ownership at the end of 2017, I think it was, right? No, the end of 2018, end of 2016.
16, yeah, I believe, yeah. So I would be a little surprised, actually, if we don't see any sort of Impact NWA crossover within the next year. But yeah, like kind of like you said, Mike, I mean, they did all that themselves without any sort of like Impact involvement. And as even though they are making headway, I think that name and that brand still has some bad vibes with fans. So if I were the Young Bucks and Cody, I would probably not look for their services at this point in time.
My next and possibly final question is, now I know this isn't the Dixie Carter era, but since this is the same company that hired and rehired Alberto El Patron back, despite being screwed over by him already one time, do you foresee the very controversial Enzo Amore receiving a job in Impact Wrestling anytime soon, in light of his sexual misconduct case being closed by the Phoenix, Arizona Police Department yesterday?
I sure would hope not. I just don't know that he brings a ton of value. I mean, he can cut a decent promo, I guess, but all indications were that he was not well liked in the WWE locker room, and that nobody really got along with him, and he was not the model employee, and charges were dropped, but also doesn't seem like he was the most model of citizens in the world either. So if I were them, I mean, hopefully they've learned their lesson from El Patron and they stay away from that. But I guess you never know, especially like you said, Kylan, this is a company that hired or went again, not only hired, he was always hired, but decided to once again use El Patron in a main event role after he had already cost them one main event within the last 6 months. So I don't know that you can really judge how bright they are when they would so willingly put him right back in the main event after he had screwed them out of a main event, no more than 4 to 6 months before that. Andrew, where do you stand there? Do you think we'll see him and show up at Impact anytime soon?
I would say not anytime soon, but I would probably go 50-50 within the next year. It's a different situation, but Rich Swann is also coming into the company. And him and WWE parted ways, even though he wasn't convicted of anything. That gives them a little bit of questionable PR. So they are not afraid of that, I guess. And it would give them buzz. I don't think it would be positive buzz. But they've done many crazy things in the past under different management regimes. And Enzo is not going to show up in like Ring of Honor or New Japan. So I think it wouldn't be too shocking to see him show up at some point.
Yeah, I guess not. Well, I think that wraps it up for this week, guys. See you next week.
All right, sounds good, Kylan. Thanks for the call.
You're very welcome.
All right, 515-605-9345 is the number here on the live cast. We have to hit another break. When we do, though, when we come back, we're going to continue right on with your phone calls here on the Thursday live cast.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other pro wrestling media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at pwboom.com. Once again, that's pwboom.com.
Back here on the live cast, Andrew, what is going on over at PW Podcast this week? I know there's It seems like there's new wrestling podcasts popping up on a weekly basis.
There is. Yeah, we should have, let's see, 83 Weeks should be up. The review of the third episode should be up tomorrow. Jeff Rush did that. And I think he's working on recaps of the first two episodes. So those are pretty interesting ones. The Bret Hart episode. and Eric Bischoff and Bret Hart kind of go way back at taking digs at each other. So it's a pretty interesting one. I was reading over that today. Let's see. X-Pac 12360 with Nick Aldis and Dave Lagana. That's an interesting one as well. Kind of talking about the NWA. The Jim Ross Report. He's kind of came back and retooled his podcast. So yeah, he's got that going. We always have Jim Cornette up, Killing the Town, plenty of podcasts out there. So yeah, if you're looking to listen to or to read wrestling podcasts and instead of taking hours to listen to them, check out pwpodcast.com.
All right, let's get back to the phone calls. Next is Ryan in Maryland. Ryan, how are you tonight?
Good. First question I have for you is, looks like there's a possibility that Don Callis might be wrestling. So, what type of quality of match do you think he could put on at his age?
Oof, I don't think it would be very good at all. I also don't think that he will wrestle. I think that he is long, has long made fun of himself almost and said that, hey, if somebody wants to pay me to not take a bump, that I will gladly do it. So I don't know if we'll see him. I mean, they are clearly setting up something with Don Callis and Sami Callihan. I kind of think it might be more along the lines of, you know, Don Callis being the corner man for somebody against Sami Callihan or something of that nature. I'm not sure that they'll go all in with him actually fighting or wrestling Sami Callihan. Andrew, what do you think there?
Oh, yeah, I hope not. I just looked him up. He's 53 years old. I think he's talked about having neck issues on Killing the Town before.
Yeah, I think he does have some pretty bad neck issues.
Yeah, so I can't it would be very tough to kind of shoehorn him in at this point because he is a heel, although I guess he could be a sympathetic face. I mean, at most, he could maybe do a tag match, but it would not be good, I don't think, if he did anything more than that. Right? But, I mean, he looks like he can take a couple bumps, but I just don't think he'd want to do anything extended. So I don't think we would see a full-fledged match, but maybe some sort of gimmicky thing. But I would still lean against that as well.
My second question for you is on Facade. He recently debuted for Ring of Honor, I believe, this week. Is he the first wrestler to debut for both Ring of Honor and Impact Wrestling in the same week?
He has to be, yeah. That's a really good question. I would imagine he has to be, unless there's someone back like around 02-03 that I'm not thinking of, you know, back when they had a lot of talent going back and forth. I don't know of anyone that would have debuted at the same time, though. Not off the top of my head, anyway. Andrew, can you think of anybody like that, or he might be the first?
Because I mean, they debuted a couple months apart during that era, and they used to let wrestlers work those shows. So I wouldn't be shocked if somebody like an Amazing Red, did it. But yeah, he probably is the first. I was going to say Tommaso Ciampa, but I'm like, no, he was in. I was thinking of him in NXT and in Impact at the same time when he briefly showed up. So. As far as I know, it is, but I could certainly be wrong on that.
And Sue Young, do you know if she's doing like a Satanist, like Kevin Sullivan gimmick where the fans actually think that she's sort of like a devil worshiper, like Kevin Sullivan was, even though a lot of people said he wasn't? And, you know, there's always that argument, or people, you know, pretty. Company, you know, it's just like a gimmick for. I'm a little confused on that.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that's what they want people to believe. I don't think, you know, it with her, it is a gimmick as far as I understand. I mean, I don't know her personally, obviously, but my understanding is that she is not the character that she portrays on television. is she married to Rich Swann?
She is, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. It's clearly a gimmick with her. But I mean, they're pushing some weird buttons with that tonight too. I mean, kind of setting the coffin on fire. I mean, there was a lot of, Broken Universe type production to that, I guess you could call it, to that funeral segment.
Oh yeah, a question for you on Tessa Blanchard. Is it possible she could start the Four Horsewoman? Is Ronda Rousey and UFC and the rights to that gimmick name?
Ooh, that's a good one. Andrew, do you know if they've trademarked that? That sounds like something that somebody must have trademarked at some point.
That's a very good question.
Yeah. I wonder if either WWE trademarked it or maybe, you know, someone involved in the group could have trademarked it, I guess.
That, yeah, I was going to guess WWE, but that's just a complete guess. I'm guessing somebody out there is going to have to has it. But, I mean, they could do something similar.
Oh, they could absolutely. Yeah, they could do something similar for sure.
Yeah, when they had a Fortune instead of like the Four Horsemen. But that's I don't know the answer to that one.
Yeah, I don't know who they'd take for that either. I mean, obviously Tessa would be a good choice. You know, I don't know. I mean, they'd probably have to go outside the company. There's really no one in there right now where you'd look at okay, they fit in a group like that. I would almost think they'd have to go outside the company to fill up those spots if they were to do anything like that.
Yeah, does Arn Anderson have daughters?
I don't know.
Or Ole? Sid Vicious?
Not to my knowledge, anyway.
Okay, all right.
I can tell you that Baby Doll has a daughter that's a pro wrestler. Her name's Samantha Starr, and she's pretty well known on the independent circuit.
Well,
there's one. Yeah, cool. I mean, you could definitely make it work. You absolutely could. Whether or not they could use that name, you know, who knows? I would imagine though that WWE has it trademarked, or like I said, somebody has. But you could definitely do something that like Andrew was saying with Fortune, that kind of plays off that idea without using the actual name. You know.
And they had to sign Jesse K too, but I think she's under WWE contract because she won the Reed Flair scholarship, the first ever scholarship. Mm-hmm. So I think she'd be a good candidate, but she's currently under contract as a referee for WWE.
Yes, yeah.
And my final question for you is, Rich Swann, is there any talk about bringing him in since he's the husband of Sue Young?
Yeah, you know, I think he is coming in, actually. He's debuting. They've advertised him to debut at some live events. I believe, did he wrestle for Impact over WrestleMania weekend? Or maybe it was when they did the Twitch thing out in Iowa a couple of weeks ago. He was definitely, he wrestled for Impact a few weeks ago, or maybe as far back as WrestleMania, I don't recall. But I know they've recently advertised, I think on their Twitter feed, that he's going to be a part of the television tapings in the first and on the 1st and 2nd of June up in Canada as well. So, yeah, I do think we'll see him brought in what role, you know, I don't know. But it does certainly seem like he's going to be brought in. And Andrew, I mean, that kind of makes sense. If he's married to someone in the company, it kind of seems like an easy fit. They're going to travel together, obviously. So if, you know, they're going to, like you said, he's, has a little bit of a checkered past, although nothing, I don't think anything he was ever actually charged or anything like that, but still they have to tiptoe around that as best they can, I guess. But yeah, it does seem like he's being brought in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I saw that on their Twitter feed today, I believe.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call tonight.
All right, Ryan, thanks for the call. Again, the number 515-605-9345. ImpactLivecast@gmail.com is the email address. Let's see. What is the time? We'll take one more call before we go to our next break. And let's go to Matt in Bakersfield, California. Matt, how are you?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you?
Not too bad.
Yeah, not too bad. Pretty good.
Good. First topic I wanted to talk about was Eli Drake, and I don't know if you guys are aware of this or not, but Eli Drake has an app.
No
way. I believe
way.
It's 99 cents. And yes, and it's the dummy app. So you press the button, and it's like, dummy, yeah. So
I had no idea.
Put that in your wherever you where you get your apps, type in Eli Drake. I believe it's, you know, it's like 99 cents or $1.99. I can't recall. I just bought it. I don't even play with it. In the beginning, I used to, but, you know, I just kind of got bored of it. But I always kept it because, you know, I want to support the guy, you know, and it's a dollar or $2. But,
oh, that's,
yeah, that's pretty smart. Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
I got it right here. It's 99 cents. It's 99 cents. Yeah. The official Eli Drake dummy button.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So I don't know if people want to go out and, you know, give them a dollar. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the Young Bucks also, too, have an app. And they just super kick everybody.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
You guys, you know. Yeah. I bought that one too, and it's pretty cool. I mean, you don't, you just super kick if you ever get bored, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, anything to support the wrestlers, right? I mean, it's not a bad idea, to be quite honest with you.
No, not at all.
Right, yeah. Yeah. No, I thought it was smart. So, anyways, I don't know if people knew that or not. Just wanted to share.
Cool, yeah.
Cool. And then as you were talking earlier about the potential matchups, I mean, to me, there's a lot. Then again, I don't know if I'm just seeing wrestling through, like, different eyes. But, like, I can't wait for, like, Trevor Lee to take on Austin Aries. You know, and I know they haven't been treating him the best. But, you know, one day I'm still hoping for Trevor Lee to break that glass window.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping for that, too. You know, I'd love to see that match as well. I just don't know, Andrew, I don't know what you think. I don't know if they'll ever go there. You know, that's my biggest fear, is that they won't ever go there with Trevor Lee. I think if they did, it would pay off. I just don't know if they're ever going to actually go there with him, because it just seems like every time we think they're going to take that leap with Trevor Lee, they, for some reason, never do. So do you think they'll ever go there, Andrew? Because I'm kind of hoping they do and give Trevor Lee a push as a singles guy here at some point.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. Like, that would be a match I would love to see. If they started, like, treating Trevor Lee more seriously or had some sort of interaction between him and Austin Aries, that would definitely get me excited, and I think it would get a lot of fans intrigued about it. But, yeah, I mean, like, tonight we saw him on the show, and he was just – it looks like they're going to go back to that LAX feud, or at least a match. And, yeah, as much as I wanted to see this new management regime get behind him, nothing really has indicated to me so far that they see more potential in him than, say, like Jeff Jarrett did in the last one. So if he does get a push, I think it's going to be a ways down the line.
Yeah, the first thing I thought of was when Z and E won the tag titles, I was like, well, at least they can play off Trevor and Conley, you know, going for the tag titles, and maybe we'll get like a cool tag team feud or something.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I don't know where they're really going with that. If DJZ and Indra ever are going to get an actual run with these belts, or if they're a transitional piece. I mean, that'll, I guess we'll see in the next couple of weeks. But you know what? Andrew Everett and DJZ against Trevor Lee and Caleb Conley. There's a little bit of a history there with Andrew Everett and Trevor Lee. Plus, I mean, they all wrestle a similar style. I think that'd be a pretty good tag team match, even if they were to hold off and kind of make that a story that they centerpiece for a Slammiversary. I'd be fine with something like that for the tag titles, as long as LAX has something to do that isn't the tag team championship. I mean, I think you got to keep LAX as a central part of the show. So if they're not going after the tag titles, you just got to find something for them to do that is worth their while. Andrew, what do you think there?
I think so too. Yeah. I mean, LAX, I think, has been their hottest act over the past year, and they've kind of dropped the ball on them a little bit. You know, tonight they were basically reduced to doing what they've been doing the past 3-4 weeks. This angle with Conan is not really progressing forward. We're not given any clues or any hints of where this is going, so it's hard to get invested in. But as for those two tag teams, yeah, I think that'd be a good feud, be a good use of all four guys. And I, you know, ideally during the course of that feud, even if Trevor Lee and Conley come up on the short end, you would want to position Lee as, you know, having breakout potential. which is the thing that I am worried about at the moment in regards to his push.
Okay, cool. One more thing I wanted to bring up to your attention was, did you guys watch that Impact show a few weeks ago that Penta goes to Iowa or does Iowa?
You know, I haven't caught that yet. That was on Twitch, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, no, it's I've been meaning to watch it. I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I haven't seen the full show put together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same here. I watched probably 10 minutes worth or so, just kind of skimming through it.
Well, I watched it live, and there was a lot of, like, you know, issues, and people were complaining, and, you know, I was like, well, it's a free show. It's on Twitch. But one thing I started to notice was there were these ads popping up about every, about every 30 minutes. And it kind of ruined the finish to Jessica Havoc versus Taya, excuse me. And, you know, like, we didn't get to see it. And Josh Matthews just kind of was like, hey, for those who missed it. So one thing I thought they did was pretty cool was they were like, hey, if you subscribe to the channel, you get, you know, you get the ads removed. So I'm like, okay, cool. So, I'm looking for the subscribe button, and I noticed that you have to pay $4.99. And, like, they never told me that. And I was just like, so you have this, you know, GWN app that's $7.99, and then, you know, you want us to watch these Twitch channels ad-free, you want me to pay another $4.99? maybe I don't understand something. I don't know. It's just weird. Like, why won't you tell me that? You know, like, pay for it.
I'd never heard of that.
Yeah, I didn't actually know that there was a premium version on Twitch where you could have the ads removed. That's interesting. Yeah, like I said, that's a lot. You're asking people to kind of subscribe to two different things. Oh, and every 3 months or so, pay for a traditional pay-per-view at $40 or $50. I mean, that's asking a lot, really. I mean, that's... If you think WWE Network's $10 a month, you're going to be $120 a year all in. If you're subscribing to GWN and Twitch and buy all the pay-per-views, you're spending more money on Impact than you are on WWE programming. And I don't think anybody's going to say that you get a better value with Impact dollar for dollar. So that's a tough sell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it just, I don't know. Anyways, gentlemen, thank you very much. You have a nice evening, and talk another time.
All right, sounds good, Matt. Hey, thanks for the call. All right, let's see. It is. We need to go to another break, but before we do, Andrew, I downloaded the Eli Drake app. So let's see if this works. Hold on.
Dummy. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
That was worth a dollar right there.
Oh yes, this is. I'm going to use this a lot. There's a lot of buttons on here, though. Hold on. What else does he say? Okay, you got the "Let me talk to you" button. None of them are marked, so I don't know what any of these are. There's six different buttons here.
Eli Drake.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Oh, that one just yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great.
Don't get lost in the sauce. That's not an insult. That is just a fact of life.
Oh, you kind of had to figure that one was going to be in there.
Yeah.
When I say dummy, you say yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great 99 cents. We should make that our opening. Our opening of the show just be going, when I say dummy, you say yeah. Over and over again. all right. Before we go off the rails here, let's go to another break. And when we come back, we'll talk about some of the segments of the show we haven't talked about. We actually have not talked about many of the segments on this week's episode, it feels like. So let's go to a break. When we come back, we'll hit up a lot of this, or we'll hit up every segment that we haven't yet talked about here on the livecast. You are listening to the PW Torch livecast here on a Thursday.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it, it takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right, back here at the PW Torch Livecast, let's start with Eli Drake. He was opening this week's episode of Impact Wrestling. He and Scott Steiner defended the tag team titles against DJ Z and Andrew Everett and Z&E, as they're going by now. They won this one to win the tag team championship. Scott Steiner was on the outside. He went to go hit, I believe, Andrew Everett with a chair. He missed. He hit Eli Drake, and then Andrew Everett pinned Drake for the win. Andrew, what'd you think of the opener here, and what do you think they're doing with Z&E as the tag team champions? Do you think it's a long-term thing, or do you think they're more of a transitional piece to something or someone else down the road?
I think they could be a tag team for a while, like keep the belts for a bit. I don't know. They kind of make me think of London and Kendrick back in SmackDown. God, probably a decade ago.
Yeah.
I mean, they could give them, you know, give them a chance, see how it goes. The match itself was fine. I don't think Scott Steiner in this day and age is, you know, even though if he's 25% of the match, you're not going to have a great match with him in there. Eli Drake does not look like much of a star right now, unfortunately. And kind of as I mentioned before, this is just way too soon for this storyline. I do like DJ Z having a title. I think he's a good talent. I like they're focusing on him. I just think they could have got way more out of this, done more promos with him. You know, what the tag titles would mean to him, you know, show some vignettes of these guys. It's just also thrown together that it was, it just didn't quite click for me. What'd you think?
I thought the match was good, but like you said, I mean, I would have liked them to see play more, and they did after the match play more into, you know, what happened to DJZ and how we never thought he'd get back to this point, and winning a title mm-hmm. means the world to him. I mean, they did a lot of that, but they did it after the match was over. And yeah. a backstage segment as opposed to before the match began. That's the one thing I would have liked to see change, is kind of just play that up a little bit more. And you know, Josh Matthews tried to do it a little bit, but it would have been better if you aired, I think, some type of video package or you know, something to just explain the road that he's been on to get back from the injury he had a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed.
Then they went to Kiera Hogan and Tessa Blanchard. Tessa Blanchard wins this one in 4 minutes. Kiera Hogan gets a lot of offense in this one, though. Madison Rayne was on commentary and talked about how, you know, Tessa Blanchard needs to be less cocky, and that's why she wasn't winning the match more easily. And then Tessa Blanchard, after the match, after the win, was about to beat up Kiera Hogan some more, and Madison Rayne ran down and stopped the beating and chased Tessa from the ring. So I guess we're going to see Tessa Blanchard against Madison Rayne at some point. And, I mean, it certainly seems that way. I'm not terribly excited about that. I also think it's a little weird. I mean, Tessa Blanchard debuted a month ago at Redemption. Redemption was April 22nd. We're here on May 17th.
So oh, wow.
She debuted almost a month ago on TV and is just now debuting in the ring, which I thought was kind of long, especially where they haven't really talked about her much over the last 2 weeks anyway.
Yeah, I hadn't even realized she'd been around that long. You know, they were giving Kiera Hogan a bit of a push, so this didn't seem like the role she should be taking on. This seemed like you call up a local indie wrestler and do the job in 30 seconds. Otherwise, it was fine, I guess. Yeah, Madison versus her doesn't do much for me. I like that she, you know, Tessa's very likely. Did you just hit the Eli Drake thing?
By accident. I was trying to turn the screen off on my phone, and I hit the yeah button, apparently. I was agreeing with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, God. Yeah. I mean, we should work that in the show more often, then. That's like both of us have that.
That's what that was.
God, now I lost my... I forgot what I was saying.
We were talking something about Tessa Blanchard. No, I think you were saying Kiera. This wasn't really the role for Kiera Hogan to be in.
Yeah, and Madison. Like, Madison is probably almost going to for sure lose to Tessa, so she's a legacy wrestler, which is fine, but Madison as a face has never really worked, so it's hard to really build her up as this centerpiece of the Knockouts division and really have it matter within 2 weeks' time. So I see what they're getting for, but I don't know if it'll quite click in that amount of time.
We talked a little bit about this earlier, but Congo Kong beats Grado in 3 minutes, and then the whole thing after the match where Katarina just leaves. Moose comes out and makes the save. You know, is he here? Yes, he is, Josh. I don't know what they're doing with Moose. I mean, poor Moose has a world title shot. He loses the briefcase. The guy he loses the briefcase to loses the title match. So you can't even say, hey, that shot should have been mine, and now you get a natural title match for Moose, but that doesn't even happen. Now you've got him disappearing for a couple of weeks and saving Grado from getting beaten up by Kongo Kong. I mean, it's just like, what? It seemed like at the beginning of the year that this could be Moose's year to break out a little bit and cement himself at the top of the division, top of the heavyweight division, and be in the main event and be wrestling for the world title. He's feels like he's taken a giant step back over the last 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, he's starting to feel like he's, I don't want to say beyond repair, like Dolph Ziggler, where he'll never, you know, regain his former glory. But man, they've really dropped the ball on Moose over the past couple of years, really, yeah. But especially over the past few months. It's the like American Top.
They flirted him too much with the main event without.
Exactly.
And
yes.
And that's kind of like what they did with Ziggler, too. I mean, they flirted with him, putting him in the main event, but never went all the way. And now you've done that enough where it's going to be hard for fans, I think, to buy into him being in the main event.
Yes, agreed. I probably say this every couple of weeks about a different wrestler, but like Moose needs to go away for a while, just due to how flat he is. Like, it's going to be hard to repair him booking wise. So absence make the heart grow fonder. So maybe that could work for him. As for the rest of the match, I mean, Grado is, I don't know how you feel, but like Grado is slowly becoming like Santino. Like, Santino is horrendously god awful and funny to me. I never liked that character for a second, but Grado is like slowly going into that realm. Just like, I don't get the humor. I don't find it funny. yeah. And because of that, it's becoming increasingly grating. He's not as unfunny to Santino as me, but it's not good. What do you think?
The only thing I liked with Santino was the honk-a-meter.
Oh, the honk-a-meter was fun.
I loved the honk-a-meter.
Yeah.
It's a guilty pleasure. I laughed at that thing every week, even though I knew exactly what he was going to say. I just thought it was great. I've been Intercontinental Champion for 2 weeks. it got me every time. I'm in agreement. Yeah, it's nothing about it is changing, and they're teasing a breakup with him and Katarina way too early. I don't know why anyone's going to invest or supposedly. I mean, yeah, you're going to really invest in a comedy character, but I don't think anyone's going to buy into this thing when you're already teasing the breakup, you know, literally a week after she redebuted. It's just, I don't know where they're going with it. You know, I just don't. And they've got the whole Joseph Park thing. That was a part of it last week. And the whole idea that Kongo Kong and Jimmy Jacobs are upset because Grado said that they beat up Joseph Park last week and they were the mystery attackers. Like, I don't know. It just, not a lot of it made a whole lot of sense to me.
No, not at all. not good.
Then when they went to the street fight, this took place in House of Hardcore. Eddie Edwards beats Sami Callihan in 11 minutes. What'd you think of this? Before the match, Tommy Dreamer gives Eddie Edwards his kendo stick. Tries to tell Edwards that, you know, when this match is over, this feud is over. Eddie Edwards, I think, said that it was only over when he decided it was or something like that. What'd you think of the match? What'd you think of the video beforehand? Because they keep teasing an issue between Dreamer and Edwards to the point where I wonder if that's their Slammiversary match instead of some type of Callahan-Edwards gimmick match. Where that's going to be the third or fourth or fifth time that they wrestle, is the pay-per-view match going to be Edwards and Tommy Dreamer with Edwards as a heel?
Yeah, I think that's where they're headed. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but I do think they could have got more out of this Callihan feud because, I mean, it's probably going to keep going on in some form, but this was supposed to be the big payoff. And it just, I mean, wasn't that good. They've also, you know, kind of dropped the ball on this storyline a bit, but I don't get why they took their like most personal heated feud, put it in an arena with worse sound, worse lighting, worse camera work. Like that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it's because Scott D'Amore said, you can do what you want, Eddie, but you can't do it here. If you want to wrestle Sami Callihan in another promotion, we'll keep him employed in our promotion.
Yeah, that's one of the that's probably the dumbest thing they've done this year so far, like storyline wise. And also, you know, they're trying to make it seem like Eddie Edwards has snapped, but all he did was like choke out Sami Callihan for 25 seconds after the match, which, you know, I mean, Sami Callihan did it for like 2 minutes and nearly killed Don Callis. So if nothing, it's just a little bit of revenge. But, you know, Josh Matthews is like, oh, my God, what is enough? Enough. Just so over the top.
When does Eddie Edwards become the villain in all of this?
Exactly. Like that only was,
lot,
you know. That,
yeah, a lot more squeakier and more whiny.
So, yeah, this was a that the match was fine, but that was not the big payoff that they should have been building towards, or even just a big chapter in the feud that they should have been building for.
After that, Brian Cage was wrestling in Canada for Destiny Wrestling. He gets a win. They keep touting this as the Brian Cage World Tour. Last week's was fine. Like the Pro Wrestling Noah match was totally fine. The match he had in Australia looked pretty good and was lit well, and there were decent production values. This, to me, looked like he was wrestling in an indie show, and that's what they put on TV. I don't know. Brian Cage, you're trying to build Brian Cage up to be a big star and to be kind of your future star. I don't know that it helps the that goal when you're showing him wrestling at a tiny indie show.
Yeah, I think they need to do a better job. What was his opponent's name?
It was a guy that Ryan was asking about. I'm drawing a blank right now.
Frankie, something. Whoever it was, like, why did Brian Cage feel the need to travel across the world to fight him? Like, that makes no sense to me. He's just like some jobber looking guy. Like, Brian Cage gets on a plane to fly over there to fight this guy specifically because why? And this guy, you know, beat him up for a bit. They cut out portions of the match. It's just, it's so stupid. I hate it. It's hurting Brian Cage. They're killing his momentum. It doesn't look good. I'm just like, I'm distracted. I'm watching this guy and this woman just sitting with their arms folded, disinterested in the other side of the room. The camera angle is way too far away for your main shot. Bad TV time.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you're trying to build Cage up as a star. Like, does it really help when it looks like he can't even draw in an indie show?
Exactly.
And look, like, they're doing a decent job with Brian Cage. This is not on Brian Cage. Like, Brian Cage, they're going to be able to build into a star. There's no question about that. I'm talking about from Impact standpoint, you know, what goes into the decision-making to show him, even if it was sold out. Like, so what? You sold out an indie show. There's 100 people there. Like, why does that make Brian Cage look like a star? It doesn't. It doesn't. Where, like, him wrestling in Pro Wrestling Noah, even though it's a smaller building, like, okay, that's still a world-renowned company. People know Pro Wrestling Noah. Nobody knows what Destiny World Wrestling is, whatever it's called. It just looks like you're having him wrestle in an indie show because that's what it is. I don't know how – well, I don't know how that makes Brian Cage look like more of a star because it doesn't make Brian Cage look like more of a star.
No, not at all. I mean, they need to get him – just don't air this stuff. But I just want to sit down with them and ask them what they're thinking when they do this. I don't get it.
Yeah, neither do I. Then they went to the main event. We talked about the main event. The tag team match, Phantasma and Pentagon beat Seidel and Aries in 19 minutes. That 19 minutes included some commercials, but 19 minutes nonetheless. And we kind of opened the show talking about it, but I thought this was a pretty fun main event. You know, not overbooked, not overly consequential when it comes to a storyline or anything like that. I mean, Phantasma did pin Seidel, and they're going to have a match next week, so I guess that makes some sense, but... just if you just took the match on its own, I'd say this was a pretty good tag match.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, nearly 20 minutes. So, that's the stuff they should be aiming for, you know, give fans an exciting way to end the night. So yeah, I guess no real complaints on that one. Just a pretty good, fun match.
And those guys can do it too. I mean, that's the other thing. You've got to trust that whoever you're going to put in there to go 20 minutes can actually, you know, go 20 minutes. Not everybody can. I thought that was well done. What are you looking forward to as we kind of look ahead here to what are they calling the special episode in a couple of weeks? Unstoppable.
It's the name of a David Bowie song. Wow. Under Pressure.
Oh, Under Pressure. That's right. Under Pressure. I don't know. I don't feel very excited about anything that they've booked for the future right now. And that, to me, is a little bit of an indictment on the last few weeks in this episode as well. They're just... And you alluded to it, too. I mean, part of it could just be that they don't have many star names or any big names, but there's just not much in the horizon that right now that I'm looking at and going, okay, I can't wait for this. You know, maybe Brian Cage winning the world title is that thing, and that could be, you know, as soon as Bound for Glory, but, you know, that's 5 months away. There's nothing coming up 2 weeks from now, or it's Slammiversary anyway, that I look at and go, okay, like you said, they've got this match coming up, and I can't wait for it.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you told me a year ago that Impact was going to main event a show with Austin Aries and Pentagon Jr., I would have been, you know, thrilled. That would sound great. In reality, though, the booking has been not good. Pentagon Jr. doesn't feel like a star. Austin Aries is just kind of a little bit of a mess of a character. His momentum is gone. Pentagon's momentum is gone, unfortunately. Well, maybe not gone, but it's definitely dwindling.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess it'll be a good match, and that should be a fun show, but I'm not overly excited about anything. I guess I'm excited that I don't have to pay $40 to watch it, but what? Beyond that, they don't have like a tag match set up.
There's nothing other than the title match as far as I recall, right? Because Phantasma Seidel is next week, and then the Under Pressure show with Aries and Pentagon is the week after.
Yeah. So they got, I mean, Brian Cage doesn't have a match on the show, I don't believe.
He must, right?
They showed some matches tonight. I don't recall them showing him on there, but I'm guessing he'll face somebody. But that seems like an oversight to not mention someone.
Yeah, and you know what? That's assuming he's on the show, because I don't know when this world tour thing started, but I guess it's possible that, you know, he wasn't even part of the taping. I don't know.
He wants another shot at that guy from Destiny Wrestling, so he'll probably miss.
Yeah, exactly. He's got to fly halfway around the world for another 75-person indie show. Big star. That to me is just counterproductive. I mean, it's counterproductive of what you're trying to do.
You know? Unless like those promotions are paying them like $100,000 to put their shows on there. I don't get it. It's counterproductive. It looks like crap on TV for the average viewer. It doesn't move most stories forward, but I don't get it at all. Why they keep doing this.
Speaking of things that look like crap, that green screen thing, ugh. That green screen set that they have. Like Josh Matthews and Madison Rain were at it tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
that is bad.
Enormous graphic behind them. It looks like they're weather people, like they're going to start giving a weather report or something. It's just, oh, is it bad?
I don't know why they went back to it. They did Callis and Matthews. They just, you know, filmed stuff with them in ringside, it looked like.
Yeah.
Just do more of that. That's natural. It doesn't look goofy.
Yeah, I hate that thing. That thing drives me nuts.
It's bad.
All right. Anything you want to add before we wrap up this week's edition of the Livecast?
I don't think so. We talked about PW Podcast before, so go check that out. If you want to follow me on Twitter, Andrew, SOUCEK.
You can follow me on Twitter at Mike McMahon PW. You can check out my Impact report on PWTorch.com right now. Andrew and I will be back next week on the Livecast, right when Impact goes off the air. Are we going to have any picks to make next week, Andrew? When's the next? When is Money in the Bank?
June.
Is it all the way in? It is June, isn't it?
I think it's June. We got some time.
So we've got some time. So if you are a VIP member, you will hear Andrew and I on the VIP after shows heading into pay-per-view weekends. We're going to be making our picks and previewing pay-per-views heading into those pay-per-view weekends. On non-pay-per-view weekends, we may or may not do an after show depending on what there is to talk about. There will not be an after show tonight. But there's a lot more you get if you are a PW Torch VIP member. So Wade's going to tell you all about VIP in just a second. But Andrew and I want to thank you for listening to the PW Tours livecast this week. And again, we'll be back next week as soon as Impact goes off the air here in the United States. And you can give us a call next week at 515-605-9345, or you can email the show at impactlivecast@gmail.com. So for Andrew Socek, I'm Mike McMahon. Thanks again for listening to the livecast, and we'll talk to you next week right back here on a Thursday on the PW Torch livecast.
PW Torch livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free editions of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.
Yeah.